please ask any questions you have, including the people who have been involved in the inquiries.
Hello.
Hello.
I have maybe this is a bit similar to a question someone asked yesterday, but I wonder if so-called realized beings and gurus and teachers are come to this practice of resting as awareness and know that to be the only truth, then how come many of them makes us believe that we have to master a lot of different practices and be disciplined, and why not show us straight to the to awareness as the Great Freedom Teaching does?
Who knows? You'll have to ask them what they're up to. It'd take me a long time to comment on every single person. I could only comment then on those I've directly experienced, but yeah. All right, I'll explore that a little bit in the talk this morning. It's a good question, isn't it? Have you had experience like that with practices and that sort of thing? What have you had experience with?
Well, I've been living in a yoga ashram, mm-hmm. where I learned lots of different practices of yoga and cleansing, and I got the feeling that to reach a state of resting as awareness, you have to first complete cleaning your body, and then by doing yoga and asanas, you get control over your body, and then you go to breathing exercises and meditation practices to finally come to what they would be as a non-conceptual state, I guess.
Oh, uh-huh. Mm. And how many people reach that goal of the non-conceptual state?
I don't know. I don't think many of the people does that, because my experience was that these certain things that you had to, became like a must-do, like you had to do it every day and you had to be disciplined, otherwise mm-hmm. you won't be a master over these practices. And after a while, I just felt this tension of every time, oh, and if I forgot, and if I didn't feel like doing it in the morning, I was blaming myself for not doing it, because, you know, this fear of having to do something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that is correct. You do become a master of practices if you practice anything every day, including that. But what we really need to look into is looking into these practices in a very scientific and methodical way, and to really say, well, how often do these practices lead to the promised result? If the practices really led to that result, then they would lead to that result for anyone who did the practices. But that isn't the case, so it can't really be subjected to any kind of scrutiny based on logic and reason. Now, if you went to college, for example, and you wanted to be a teacher or a heart surgeon or something like that, there would be a certain course of learning practices set out for you. And you would know that if you followed those practices, you would be a cardiologist, or you would be a teacher, or you would be whatever you signed up to be. So you see, you would use your discrimination and discernment to judge whether or not the school could actually provide that result for you. by seeing how many people who had participated actually achieved the result, right? But it seems like in spiritual seeking, people lose all discrimination very often and don't really look into things in the way that they would look into things in other arenas. And so today we don't really know very often where to look or what to look for. And the whole idea of enlightenment or even awareness has been very watered down. And so no one pretty much even knows what it is. But many people say they know what it is. And so, you know, most of all, what's been true throughout all of time is that the genuine direct practices lead to immediate benefit in the here and now. So it isn't a destination-seeking endeavor. It's immediate benefit in the here and now. And so in Great Freedom, the goal is introduced in the beginning. So then that's out of the way. Then the goal is introduced in the beginning, then there's no destination to head for. And there's the understanding that in that introduction holds for each moment of here and now. Do you see what I'm saying? That introduction to awareness is the only reality of every moment of here and now. And so that is all that need be applied. That's the only practice to gain confidence in that, to gain conviction and certainty in one's own experience that that is the case. And when we say gain conviction or confidence or certainty, again, it's not something that we don't already have that we're trying to get. That we're trying to get confidence and conviction and certainty that exists somewhere else outside us and draw it to us. It isn't that at all. It's the conviction and confidence and certainty that's inherent in everything. Just the way everything is so spontaneously perfect. We're not trying to get something we don't have. What we get in touch with is our indwelling confidence to live in our own strength and our own courage of what really is, rather than collapse into all these ideas about everything. And if we persist in that, then we increasingly see the benefits of it. So what could be easier than that? You know, you can do yoga if you want to. You can do whatever you want to do, but don't think that it's leading anywhere. If you just enjoy doing things like that, then that's great. Everything is already pure, so nothing needs to be cleansed or purified. The freshness of everything right here is guaranteed. It's just like this right here. The freshness of that is guaranteed, and it isn't preservable. It can't be captured because in the next instant, there's another freshness that isn't capturable. And so you see, it's really amazing. It can't really be understood intellectually. And in being satisfied with not being able to understand it, that is the attainment. Yeah. So it's just the simple awareness by you know what is here, and that awareness is all pervasive of what is here. It's not separate from it. Now, all over the world today, we see many systems and ways of doing things that human beings have used for many, many years crumbling, and they're not necessary anymore. And so That's the case too with this matter of understanding the nature of being human. We can call it enlightenment or awakening or the absolute or Dharmakaya or whatever we want to call it. But what it really is about is being a human being. And what can be proven to be immediately beneficial in one's experience. Not only immediately beneficial, but have an enormous long-term upside. So it isn't just immediately beneficial right now. If it were put on a curve, it would be like an endless hockey stick, you know, kept going up. Do people play hockey in Sweden, ice hockey? Yeah. This is just as simple as it is, and to see to believe that a lot of effort is required or a lot of doing is required is something that really needs to be rested as. What could be required in what is already perfect? What could be inaccessible in what's already obvious? It just doesn't make any sense. And so it's as complicated as one wants it to be. Yeah. Is there anyone here who thinks that more might be necessary? Good. To just be the enrapturement of the here and now is just incredible. What else is needed in life? Because everything is self-sprung from that, so there's nothing to do. And it's always very clear to us whether we're on target or off target. If we're on target, then there's enormous benefit for us in our lives, and then the people around us are benefited as well. The world is benefited by our presence. So it's not some kind of state of neutrality or passivity where anything goes. It isn't that at all. That's a trap or an extreme to believe that that's the case. Now, many times when I go to a new place where I haven't met people before and I see everyone there, I can see in the faces that there's very little enjoyment of life in most people. And so as our natural state is one of enjoyment, that's very sad, isn't it? And that enjoyment isn't anywhere else other than right here. It's the nature of your own being. It was never turned on and it'll never be turned off. So, simple, huh? Do you have anything more you'd like to ask about that? Anyone else?
Hello. there's something circling about the intensification of awareness. And my experience is that the dream, what I call the dream, the awareness dream, just gets better and better. And then when there's like a intensification, as I see it's being called here, it comes and goes. And I never come and go. So I'm wondering what that, if you can say something about that. I see that I never come and go. And yet this intensification of awareness can come and go. It's just circling in my mind. I don't know. I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yes, a good way to understand that is that there is a continuous increase of soothing energy that doesn't come or go. And so if there are states of intensification and then a seeming lessening of that, then that's just a point of view. That makes it easy to understand, doesn't it? Yeah. Thank you. Ask anything, especially if you're embarrassed to ask it or don't want to ask it.
I'm very embarrassed to ask it because it has probably been asked that many times during the 12 inquiries, but what I feel is like there is a certain efforting in trying to grasp resting, and then there may be a moment happening spontaneously of resting, and then I try to get it. It's just an observation, if you would like to say something about it.
Oh, well, you try to get the moment of spontaneous rest and hold on to it? In the beginning, initially, it does seem like there's effort, but very quickly that feeling of effort subsides. And so initially when we learn that all points of view appearing in awareness are simply due to that awareness and have no independent nature, when we learn that initially, then we try to rest as awareness. We wonder if we're resting as awareness. We wonder if we've really been introduced to awareness. And so then we have to rest as all those new points of view coming up. And when there is a moment of spontaneous awareness without needing to rest, that shows us what's to come. What's to come is that spontaneous awareness in all moments, the recognition of that spontaneous awareness in all moments of the here and now. And so whether there's the spontaneous moment or a moment of rest where you're attempting to rest, then when you rest, you just relax the tension of needing to correct what's appearing in any way. That's all. And so that's in that you recognize spontaneously present awareness. Know that as you have more short moments of actually resting many times, it will become continuous so that there will be more moments of the spontaneously present awareness and fewer moments of the need to rest. Do you have something else you'd like to ask about that?
Well, I have yet to experience it, but it sounds good.
Short moments many times. It does become continuous. It's very important to look at how far you've come rather than how far you have to go. So that by being able to identify in your own experience that you have a very restful presence of awareness in moments where you did not have that before. That's very powerful to recognize that. We don't even know if we'll be around in 1 second. So why look at how far we have to go? Boom, we could all be smashed to smithereens. Would you like to ask something more about that? No? Thank you, Torbjörn.
I have another question. I have this point of view that disease and physical sickness comes from the mind. If I'm not feeling, if I don't have well-being, the sickness can come as a form of a disease or pain in the body. I wonder if you can say something about that.
Awareness is the sole cause and the sole effect. And so to understand the phenomena of the body and its sensations, it's important to gain confidence and awareness. And firstly, in the initial stages of resting as awareness, what we find is that all of our mental events, whatever they are, the thoughts and the emotions, start to naturally settle out. And so in this way, we come to see that our mind is actually perfectly stable. It's never been unstable. And when we see that, then we begin to question other things about ourselves. Because at one time we thought that all our mental events could make us feel good or bad. But we come to see in our own experience that the mental events can't make us feel good or bad. It's impossible. So then we start to question other things that we've assumed to be true. Like, well, if this is true about mental events, maybe it's true about my body too. Maybe if awareness has complete power and mastery over all mental events, maybe it has complete mastery over physical events as well. So you see, this all comes about through gaining confidence and awareness. For most, progress is made gradually. Just totally enjoy it. And no matter what appears, just be like an old person basking in the sun. Not a care in the world, everything's done. No more job to go to, nothing to do. The kids are all on their own and they're all happy and healthy.
I've thought of the crystal ball and the crystal ball as a symbol for awareness, and that if I look at something and I look through the ball, the image is turned upside down. Mm-hmm. And I've just been thinking about that, trying to see if I could find a symbol meaning in that as well. And I wonder if you could just...
Well, when we realize that... awareness is crystal clear, and what's appearing right here is crystal clear, then our whole idea of everything is turned upside down. That's one way to look at it.
Hello.
Hello.
So I have a question about making decisions. When I have a thought of making a decision, should I rest with it? That's the clear answer. But it's more like with the future, what I should I think about that, or should I just let it go? But how would I be able to rest with it if I don't know? Well, I just don't. But I want to have a solution on the question. And should I just wait until it comes naturally? Or should I just... Well, I shouldn't think about it, obviously, but...
It doesn't matter whether you think about it or not. Just continue to rest. What's obvious is that there isn't any distraction from awareness or consciousness. It's always already present and indivisible from everything. And so whether there's what's called distraction or not, it makes no difference. The key distinction is in whether or not awareness is obviously present in what might be called distraction. Now, that's the importance of short moments many times. It's only in short moments many times that we can clearly come to see that that's the case and not get lost in some kind of extreme state. And so, you know, whether you make a decision just like that or wait forever, whatever it is, it's all perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is something I've wanted to ask for a long time. Something I've been wrestling with, and you have talked about transhumanism and that it's important that people know what's going on in the world. Another thing that is also going on, which is in the name of inclusivity, is the globalization movement that's been going on. And there are a lot of explanations and so-called conspiracy theories around that. You can read forever things that seem to explain what's going on. And I know a lot of people who into serious head trips around this, you know.
Serious?
Head trips.
Oh, know, head trips. You know,
endless points of view around this. And when I was first introduced to these theories, I was just really, I got extremely scared. Extremely scared.
What scared you?
Well, I experienced complete evil. That's how I perceived it at the time.
And what was there about it that seemed like complete evil?
Well, there is this structure that's been going on for many decades and for centuries that controls what is going on. I know it is points of view, and I'm very restful with it. But still, since you talked about informing people what's going on, and I know people who really full-time do this, you know, trying to inform what is going on, but they don't feel very well. Some of them seem sick, you know, from all this worry about, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, apocalypse and 2012 and blah, blah, blah. You know, the Freemasons and on and on and on. George Bush and blah, 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 blah. There's no end to it.
True. That's the way the ceaseless, countless, indeterminate, unpredictable points of view are. And yeah, the all of these points of view, whether they're so or not, the only way to solve the problem, whether they're so or not, so to speak, is to gain confidence in the fundamental condition. And then from that vantage, see what's really going on.
Still resting, I'm still fascinated by these so-called explanations. And that there could be something, you know, to inform people. Or maybe I can inform these people to rest. That might be helpful.
Well, sure, no matter what kind of endeavor we're involved in, to have a perfectly stable mind improves the outcomes of that. And so this is something I noticed early in my life of being young in the late 60s and 70s and the whole generation of make love, not war, and that kind of thing. But yet all the organizations, everyone in them was so angry and hateful about everything that was going on. And so that didn't seem like love to me. And so it seemed to be key that in order to achieve our aims, it would be required that we really had that perspective of openness, what might be called love or kindness in every moment. And the same is true with what you're talking about. Who knows, you might want to inform people about that, but you don't need to be worried, obsessed, and overwrought and paranoid in order to do so. Gain confidence and awareness, and you'll know exactly what your purpose is.
Yes. First, I just want to say thank you. I'm leaving today, and I really want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I have no words. And I also have a question about, it's like I have a sense that there is an urgency, even though I realize there is no time and it's just a point of view, and I need to rest as that urgency. And still it's like I have this sense that there is an urgency to spread this or to rest. Or it's a paradox, I know, and yet I'd love if you could comment something on that. Thank you.
There isn't really an urgency. It's just that the spontaneous perfection is naturally expressive of its own benefit. And that's just the way it is. And so the more that a human being becomes aware of that, the more their impulse is to express that benefit. There isn't really a sense of urgency in it. It's just a natural flow. Does that answer your question? Well, here's another look at it. Now, we're all here at the Great Freedom Center in Skona. And it's like the ultimate resort where you can go and everyone's relaxed and cooperative and warm, and there's no processing of points of view ad nauseum, and there's just a relaxed, carefree atmosphere for the most part, all the time. People work together in a very sweet way, each one expressing their own gifts and talents. And so what could be a better vacation than this? And all of that happens effortlessly and without any urgency involved. So that really shows us that what is possible on a grand scale, just that we're all together here in this way, that really shows what is possible on a grand scale. So this is a very important moment. It really is.
So I get the sense then, when you talk now, that the more I rest, it seems slow in a way, the faster something else is, somehow.
I understand what you're saying. The more you rest, the more spaciousness there is. That is obvious.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I feel the more space I feel inside, the more my sense of how big we are changed. I feel like we're giants. Like the earth is much bigger than I ever thought. And like the scale changes. And I know it's a point of view, but it just feels, it's interesting to follow, but sense, like, my perception of how big I was is completely like in Alice in Wonderland. And there's a Chekhov technique of theater where you can imagine instead of feet you've got spikes, or instead of hips you've got a huge balloon that's floating, and this is much easier now.
Uncontrived awareness. Rest is the ultimate theater technique. A whole new theater school can develop.
There's no urgency.
No.
Thank you.
I'll be coming later today when you read your letters, the inquiry group. Today, for the inquiries group, the inquiry will be inquiry number 12. And the action of inquiry 12 is we carry the message of wisdom awareness to others and demonstrate its qualities and activities that benefit all. The question is, what is indestructible? And the commitment, all points of view are by nature timelessly free. Since all points of view already constitute the timeless reality of beneficial awareness, the decisive realization of the power of great benefit happens without effort or achievement. And so even though we may want to benefit ourselves and benefit others, and we may want that enormously, it cannot ever be cultivated or developed. If we try to cultivate it or develop it, it's contrived. When we leave everything as it is in a totally uncontrived way, then this tremendous force of benefit becomes evident in our own life. So it's that simple. And once that is the case, which it is from the first moment of resting, then more and more we see the benefit for ourselves, and the more we see that benefit for ourselves, the more we naturally want to be a benefit for others, because we see what the solution really is. Now, anyone, no matter who they are, can rest for this moment. So we're not saying, well, they're going to rest for every moment from now on. We're just saying that by gaining confidence in our own ability to experience spontaneous perfection, we know that's possible for anyone else. And we can always show someone how to do that in this moment. We're not banking on anything else, whether it's going to be possible for them again or for us again or anything else. And so this is really key to realize that natural expression of the fullness of really caring about everyone and everything. It's just so beautiful. And in this process of the inquiries, I'm sure that everyone has had just a taste of that. Has anyone not experienced that really deep caring for themselves and everyone and everything in the inquiries? And so you see, this opening of that experience will only increase. It will only increase, the evidence of that will only increase in your experience by the power of resting. And it's just undeniable that there is no beauty like the beauty of that. To just feel soft and kind and really caring towards oneself and others in the world we live in. There's just nothing like that at all, is there? And every moment of rest is that. It's the spontaneous perfection of that easefulness and softness that is our natural state. All points of view are by nature timelessly free. Whatever point of view appears, it's already naturally free. It doesn't need to be contrived into freedom or made into freedom. Whatever the point of view is, it's perfect as it is, and it's free in its own place. It's equal to space. It's never been collapsed into a point or into anything. It's always equal to the space of awareness and nothing else. Since all points of view already constitute the timeless reality of beneficial awareness, the decisive realization of the power of great benefit happens without effort or achievement. This moment of rest is immediately beneficial. It's always beneficial. The spontaneously self-freed here and now is completely beneficial. And the only way it looks like it isn't beneficial if we try to do something to it, like describe it to make it into something concrete. And so that benefit that is right here does not need to be efforted for or achieved because it's always right here. The overview of Inquiry 12 is that resting naturally as awareness has moved beyond being a personal accomplishment. Initially, when we start to learn about resting as awareness, we might see it only as something for ourselves. Well, this is something I want for me, we say to ourselves, and I want to feel better. I don't want to be so overwhelmed with my disturbing emotions and thoughts or actions. And so we say, I'm going to do this because I want to feel better. But then the more experience we have in resting as awareness, the less we see it as associated with ourselves, and the more we see it as the benefit of all rather than only ourselves. And this comes naturally without any urgency, effort, or doing whatsoever. We have begun to care deeply and profoundly about life and about our own effect on the world. It's very simple. Everyone who experiences the inquiries feels this shift in beginning to care deeply and profoundly about life and about our effect on the world. It's just the way it is. When we see how much the power of resting as awareness can affect our life and our outlook on the world, then we automatically see how much it can affect the attitudes and outlooks of everyone and their ability to affect the world. We realize that all is united in the indivisible wisdom body of awareness. No matter what it is, all is united in the indivisible wisdom body of awareness. Just looking at the spontaneous perfection of this instant, it's clear that all is united. In what's right here, there's no way to divide it into anything without describing it in some way and trying to make it into something. If we trust that experience, just that naked experience of what's right here, we see it's impossible to cause any kind of collapse into fragmentation or any kind of split. There's a uniform expanse that's equal and free. It is through the beneficial intent of awareness that we find a completely ordinary dignity as a human being. That's so amazing. You know, we've been looking for dignity or integrity or self-respect or self-love or whatever it is. And what we find is that awareness right here is immediately beneficial. And in that is a very ordinary kind of dignity. It's not a big, blown up, puffed up dignity that we have to contrive or make up. It's just right here in this moment of awareness. We feel whole. We feel complete. We really know what dignity means for the first time. Individuality and self-centeredness are placed by a natural dignity and integrity. That's very simple. So the whole focus on individuality and self-centeredness, such as my fears, my doubts, my disturbing emotions, my disturbing thoughts, my crummy experiences, all these things that need to be made into something better, whoosh. They're all gone. And instead, there's just the natural dignity and integrity of being, of the spontaneous perfection of what's right here that includes everyone and everything. When we begin to gain increasing confidence and awareness, we see that there is a tremendous sense of energy, power, and speed that is difficult to describe or conceptualize. When we let go of all those fixed reference points as having a law called independent nature, then all of a sudden we start to have tremendous energy, and it really seems like everything is speeding up. And we notice a lot of power just in the experience of being right here. And when you have that feeling, just rest, keep resting. It's nothing to be afraid of, and it's also nothing to hold on to. This part of the journey can seem a little tricky because all of a sudden we have this relaxation of tension, of holding to fixed reference points, this tremendous openness and feeling of power. And it's the power of awareness itself. So if different points of view come up like fear, or hoping that we'll be the most powerful person on earth or whatever it is, just rest. Just keep resting as awareness, and especially rely on the four comforts. Don't get lost in some kind of extreme, like I am the most powerful person in the universe, or I'm Neo reincarnated, or you know, whatever it might be. All movies from now on will be about me, or you know that if you start to have thoughts like this, well, you definitely need to rely on the four comforts. And we are in a vehicle that is like a rocket and are approaching that level of speed. So just like the premier vehicle, the peak vehicle of human existence is the spontaneous perfection of what's right here. And it can seem like it's moving at warp speed compared to what we're used to. However, because we have properly prepared, it is possible to proceed without great difficulty. Everyone is properly prepared through the inquiries, and so you've already seen what all the pitfalls might be. You see what your points of view are that might come up and blindside you. So it's possible to proceed without great difficulty. And you're also aware of the four comforts, the practice of resting for short moments, taking advantage of the teacher and the teaching and community to be of support to you. That's what the four comforts are. And so you can proceed with ease. Know that you can always rely on these. You're not isolated any longer. There's support available 24/7, no matter where you are. Now, the teacher is extremely important in terms of being a source of support. And when there is support available 24/7, there's no reason not to use it. And with each of us, we have whatever our own circumstantial points of view are that are associated with our life. So there may be special instructions that we need that apply just to us and don't apply to anyone else. And we can get those instructions from the teacher. And when we do, it's important to realize that those instructions apply just to us. They're not to share with anyone else because they might not be appropriate for anyone else. They've been given by the teacher just for us. And they apply only to our situation and our circumstance. If they're given to someone else, they may not be appropriate at all to that person and their circumstances. When we resolve negative points of view and awareness by leaving them unrejected and uncorrected, this throws open the door to be of great benefit. It's obviously of great benefit immediately to us because for many of us, we've been overwhelmed by disturbing states all our lives. And when these are resolved in restful awareness, then we see immediately the incredible benefit that's available in our own life. And with that, that benefit is unrestrained. It becomes uncontained, unrestricted, limitless. And then not only are we of benefit to ourselves, but of benefit to everyone. First of all, we're of benefit just by realizing the essence of awareness. That's of incredible benefit to everyone, including ourselves. And then from that vantage, we see more how our very own strengths, gifts, and talents, and the things we love to do most in life, can be of benefit to the world. And then with great joy, we proceed in sharing those strengths, gifts, and talents, whatever they are. Our true identity is this wisdom body that is implicit in, of, as, and through the spontaneous perfection of what's right here. That's our real identity. Our real identity has never been collapsed into any points of view. And this wisdom body is inconceivably beautiful. Its beauty can never be described in any way. It can never be collapsed into any kind of description that would do it justice. It can never be defined because it has no limitation of any kind. The moment we think we've captured it, we see that there's nothing to capture, and its beauty is so immense and so powerful and so forceful that the idea of preserving it or capturing it in any way is impossible. It reflects all points of view unobstructedly in infinite aspects, so an end to its appearances cannot be found. Just like if there was an infinite net of crystal balls, that infinite net of crystal balls that stretched everywhere would reflect everything else. And the same is true with awareness. It reflects everything that has ever been, is now, and ever will be, unobstructedly. It reflects all of that beautifully and unobstructedly. This is your true body. This is the true body of everything as it is. Since the wisdom body is inconceivable, its aspects are inexhaustible. This wisdom body that is the only body anyone is, it, all of its aspects are inexhaustible. No matter what appears, it is that wisdom body. It's the spontaneous perfection of that wisdom body and nothing else. Know that as yourself and never be distracted from that. All right, thank you. Enjoy Inquiry 12.